All right, here we are with episode 111 of the Florida Trail Runners podcast. And this time we are talking about something cool here in Pasco County. It's called the Orange Belt Trail. Now, this is a project that has been in the works for a few years now, but on the chat, we've got Wyatt Bowers and Aaron Swanson. Aaron is a Pasco County project manager and Wyatt is a consultant project manager. And together, they've got a lot of information on this project, its planning, and they address some awesome questions and concerns from people in the community. Now, as far as the Orange Belt Trail and what it is, you know, it would be a roughly 37-mile trail across Pasco County, going from Trinity all the way to Trilby, which is kind of by Dade City. It would also provide key connections to the Coast to Coast Trail, the Starkey Trail, and the Withlacoochee Trail. So basically, you'd be linking up Trinity, Odessa, Land O'Lakes, Wesley Chapel, San Antonio, St. Leo, and Dade City all in one trail. And hey, with that, you know, let's kick it off with this Orange Belt Trail chat.
Talking about the Orange Belt Trail, county leaders are considering building. It would utilize the old rail line, allowing people to walk or bike throughout 37 miles of trails.
Once Pasco County finishes the new Orange Belt Trail, it'll connect to several other trails, including the Suncoast Trail. Take a look at this map. The trail will span 37 miles from the Pinellas County line at Trinity all the way to Trilby. The county plans to use the old CSX Railroad corridor.
Hello. Good evening.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Aaron. Aaron is here. Hello.
Well, now that Aaron's here, I can drop off.
Yeah. That's how it would be. No way.
Well, I guess first off, hey, how are y'all doing?
Very well.
I'm doing great. Thanks awesome. For asking.
And I guess, you know, normally I feel like I'm kicking this podcast off with like just normally runners and, you know, kind of their running background and all of that stuff. But obviously this one's a little different. You know, we're talking about the Orange Belt Trail, the project. And, you know, I guess we can go with a little bit about yourselves. And, you know, what's your role in this project?
Sure. Wyatt, do you want to start off?
I can start off. Sure. My name is Wyatt Bowers. I am a transportation planning project director with the firm Atkins Realis. And we have been contracted by Pasco County to do the planning, feasibility, and project development environment study for the Orange Belt Trail. My primary expertise is in transportation planning, but over the last 10 years, I've really been focused on active transportation, bicycle and pedestrian enhancements. Also safety, which is a huge concern, especially for vulnerable users, bicyclists and pedestrians, where we have crash statistics going up on a regular basis. And so this is a great opportunity for me specifically to work on hopefully a very high profile project that really enhances regional mobility in Pasco County.
Great. So as you can hear, he is the full expert, and which is why I was glad he was able to join on this podcast. So I'm Aaron Swanson, and I am the project manager for the Orange Belt Trail through Pasco County. And so we are funding this project through our Penny for Pasco initiative. And so we have taken on Atkins Realis as a consultant. So they're the ones with the boots on the ground really doing this study for us. And my background, I am a little bit of a runner. I ran in high school and I run now. But of course, you know, that obviously adds to my enthusiasm for developing this trail, but that's what I've got.
Nice. Yeah. And it's like, you know, when this idea for this Orange Belt Trail, when someone finally said, hey, this is what we're doing, you know, what was your initial thoughts on it?
Aaron, you want to start?
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, so I was actually recently hired with the county back in December of 22. So with that, I was also brought onto this project kind of a little bit still in the starting phases, but it's been an idea for the county for years. I think back in 2015 when the Penny for Pasco program really kickstarted, this actual trail was specifically laid out in that initiative. It was called the Bi-County Pedestrian Bike Project, I believe. So we kind of revamped the name and rebranded it as the Orange Belt Trail. But when this all started, I mean, I was excited to be a part of it. It's something fun. It has a little bit to do with some of my passions outside of work as well. So that's what I have.
Yeah, and to add to that, I think so the reason it was called the Bi-County Trail was that at the time that it is imagined, it was going to connect and does connect to the edge of Pinellas County and into the Pinellas Trail and extend all the way, you know, to Trilby, where you're basically almost at the Hernando County line. So there was that opportunity of how it would connect through. In Pasco, there's always been this question of how you travel, whether that be automobile or walking or biking, whatever it might be, north-south, as well as the east-west route. And so there, from a bicycle pedestrian standpoint, there are a couple of north-south trails, including the Suncoast Trail that parallels the Suncoast Parkway. And there was a strong desire to provide additional east-west connectivity. As Aaron mentioned, you know, it was part of a Penny for Pasco plan back in 2015. The line that had been identified on the map, that was drawn on the map, followed the old Orange Belt Railway alignment. The Orange Belt Railway goes back all the way to the late 1800s and connected from Sanford all the way to St. Petersburg. In fact, the Pinellas Trail is on that alignment of the old Orange Belt Railway. And then I think in about 2018, the county applied for a federal grant. At the time, it was called the Tiger Grant Program, so actually maybe a little earlier than 2018, to do this study. And they weren't successful in getting that money. In terms of that federal grant, probably 20 times the number of one out of 20 applicants actually gets funded because it's that desirable of a grant program. But the county has been able to advance this project through county funds to do this PD&E project development study and get it moving. So, I mean, again, I think the origins of the trail might date as far back as the railway in the late 1800s, but at least the envisioning of a trail is probably now 10 years.
Yeah, and I think with the name Orange Belt Trail, kind of like what you said, you know, there's a lot of history with that going back to the 1880s, you know, because that was such a pivotal time in like our local history here in Pasco County, from agriculture, early urbanization, and just our local economy.
Yeah, correct. And I think there's some hope that we can play and honor that history. But I think there's also opportunities for this trail to enhance economic development and growth in the county.
And we also hope to, like what Wyatt had said, is to utilize that history and incorporate it into our trail design. So I'm sure you know about areas in Dunedin that have a little bit of structural history related to a rail line as you travel the trail. So when we go further along in this study, we are going to try to, you know, add a little flair and incorporate parts of what you would believe to, you know, be the rail line into the trail to make it a little more easy on the eyes and more appealing.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things, you know, a lot of people, when they hear it on the news or, you know, in maybe an article or something, you know, they don't really look at the historical aspect as well to it. You know, the project is also preserving history.
Yeah, that is a great way to look at it.
Yeah, I think we can definitely look for opportunities to provide, some learning opportunities, some information kiosks, for example, as you're along the way, that help to keep that history alive.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. I think I saw that in some of the meetings or one of the meetings.
Yes, we've shown a little bit, and we do have some alignment alternatives, for example, that come near the old train station that in the San Antonio area. And today that, you know, there's an opportunity to use that as a resource, again, similar to what has been done in Dunedin with the Pinellas Trail.
Yeah. And I guess kind of with that too, you know, I know the local community has, you know, voted on different things, and I guess a project like this, you know, how does it even start? I guess these early kind of prelim stages.
Well, I guess I'll try and take a shot at this at first. So again, there was a line drawn on a map that started the process, and that fit the with the original alignment of the Orange Belt Railway. Now, very early on in the study, we understood that in some places that was going to be a very hard line to follow because the railway is not there anymore. And in some cases, it's in fact private property. And there might in fact be places where we wouldn't want to go that direction for any number of reasons. Maybe it's accessing a park or providing better connectivity with schools or shopping that would send us in a different direction. So we have started that process in December with kickoff meetings with the community and said, tell us some lines, tell us where you'd like us to look. And we got some answers from that. And then we had some stakeholder meetings. We met with, elected officials. We met with some bicycle groups. We talked with the Audubon Society and some other environmental groups. And from that, we were able to, working with county staff, develop a series of different alignments to look at and consider what are the pros and cons of those opportunities. So we actually, I think at the time, we had 23 different potential routes. Most of those are as you get to the north of State Road 52 and the east of I-75. And so those were presented in April at a series of meetings. And we heard from the public and we asked them to vote and tell us at that time, are there ones that you support or oppose? And so from that information and some preliminary environmental analysis and engineering analysis that we did, we were then able to refine that list down to a smaller set of alignment alternatives that we then brought back to the community in August. And again, asked for their input and asked them to rank in order of preference in a couple of areas, which ones they thought were more palatable than others, for the lack of a better term. And now we're trying to get that down to just one or two that we can then carry into further analysis and further study.
It's a lot that goes into it, as you can hear.
When they're doing these studies, what are they looking at?
Go ahead, Aaron.
Okay, sure. Well, so the PD&E study is called the Project Development and Environmental Study. And they look at a whole series of different categories, whether it be something cultural, as in providing, like, if the trail can, with one alternative, can provide access to a school or a park or another trail. So that would give it a higher ranking in the PD&E world. There's other potential negative impacts that this could that could be looked at as well, such as like if the potential trail alternative runs through an actual facility or a building. So there's things like that. There's other aspects, physical and natural categories, where you don't want the trail running through a major industrial park or a hazardous waste facility or anything like that. And then there's other different types of categories, like whether there's the population density is looked at and can be a positive thing if it can really bring people together. Of course, a huge one that we're looking at as well is the cost of a trail. Of course, if we're having to build big bridges and going over wetlands, and that greatly impacts the cost, or if we have to do more what we call right-of-way acquisition, where if there's not enough space between where we need the trail to lie and someone's property, and we may need to acquire a couple of feet, I mean, that costs the county a lot of money. So those are major factors that we need to look into when it comes to really finding out where the most ideal route will eventually lie. So and then the segment that Wyatt had just described earlier was another major component, which is engagement. And so we ask the public what do they see, what do they like, what do they don't like. We provide alternatives that give a variety of different scenarios that will benefit or maybe not benefit a community in certain different ways. So and along with that, we ask our other stakeholders. So Pasco County has other municipalities within it, like the city of San Antonio and the town of St. Leo, who will also be impacted by the trail and where it may end up.
So we like to ask them about, you know, what their thoughts are and how it might impact their towns and their cities. So there's a ton that goes into it. So there's a lot to look at, and that's why I'm grateful Wyatt is here with his staff to really assess everything and making sure that this trail, when it's finalized and we get to that endpoint, that it's the best it can be and benefit the county and the most users as possible.
Yeah, that's one thing I've always enjoyed was, you know, there's a lot of community input that, you know, people are definitely voicing their opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a good thing. I mean, it's good to know that. I mean, it would really suck if this project, we put in all this effort and nobody knew about it, you know? So it's a good thing that we have so much good input and we appreciate positive and negative feedback. I mean, it does help, and it really, it almost like connects me and really, because I am fairly new to the county myself personally. So it's a great learning experience for me, for myself, understanding about all the community and I mean, the different types of lifestyles and the preferences that these folks have. Cause I mean, Pasco County is massive. And on top of that, there's so many different, cultural differences between the East and the West side and throughout. So, everybody's input and their involvement is great, because then we learn about, you know, what somebody in rural Dade City is thinking versus somebody, you know, in Starkey Ranch. I mean, they're completely different, but this trail in its identity, we would like for it to benefit everybody in different ways. So I really appreciate all that public input and the feedback we are getting.
Yeah. And I would add to that, you know, having been doing this for 25 plus years, almost 30 now, it's been interesting to see the change that happens in terms of outreach and engagement. It is very difficult in many planning studies to get people to come out to a public meeting on a weeknight evening. Now, you know, they want to be able to just do it on social media or get on the website and voice their opinion that way. And so we've provided those opportunities that, you know, our website has a comment form and we've received hundreds of comments through it. And then when we've done online ranking or online voting, we've also had significant involvement engagement that way. But I would say it's heartening to be at public meetings where the staff and the consultant team doesn't outnumber the public. So it's been terrific to have 50 to 100 or more people at these meetings. Again, it does show that they really do care about their communities and that this project is of interest to them. To Aaron's point, there are very significant differences as you go along this, and we say 37 miles, it could be anywhere from 35 to 40, I think, depending on the different alignment that we take. But there are very different communities, and we need to be able to speak to that and understand it and also have the trail voice that. And so that's something that we're going to be looking to do. The trail typology, the trail amenities may be different in the Starkey area and Bexley area than they are as we get north and east.
Yeah, you know, I think the social media side of things, that's always a big one. Because, I mean, some people, they just, I guess, they feel more comfortable commenting on Facebook than they would, you know, in person. But, you know, one of the things I've seen on Facebook was that, like, you know, there's always the comment, well, no one's going to use the trail. But I think it's important for folks to see the bigger picture of what they might, you know, what they might see immediately.
Yeah, I will tell you that, you know, there's constantly that concern and observation that people bring about trails. I can use an example of one that I've been involved with that is actually right alongside an interstate highway right now. So similar to the Suncoast Trail that's along the Suncoast Parkway, you can drive along, you know, for, you know, a mile or whatever and not see a bicycle rider or a walker, and you think no one uses it. Well, there, we now have count data on a lot of these where we're looking at and, you know, getting automatic information about how many people are using them. And this one that I'm speaking of specifically has had over 100,000 people using it in its first 4 months.
Wow.
And it's less than a mile long. Okay. It's just a short connector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and there are going to be hot spots and there's going to be areas where you have some through bikers or runners that are going the further distance. But, and overall, we want it to we want to give our residents the ability to connect. I mean, whether it's used significantly, as we see on some on like the Suncoast Trail and things like that, or not, it's really giving that benefit and that that opportunity to folks, and to be able to connect to the east and west side of the county.
Yeah, you know, I think things like this, you know, it contributes to the overall infrastructure of the community. You know, you have recreational opportunities, connectivity between, you know, across the county. With all these new neighborhoods coming in, is promoting a healthier lifestyle. And honestly, it's really adding a more safe and accessible, you know, walking, biking, running route that probably would bring more people into the county.
Yeah. Yeah. And I lived out in Colorado for a little bit. And one of the real positive things about there that I observed was, you know, no matter what, no matter where I was within the like Denver metro area or outskirts, you know, there were sidewalks and there was trails everywhere. And I don't know what came first, the trails or the folks on the trails, but even in the dead of winter, I mean, you have cyclists, you have runners, you have walkers. I was out there, you know, 8 months pregnant and, you know, walking along the trail, just, I mean, it was there. So it made me want to go out instead of being hunkered down in my house. I mean, of course, it's completely different here. Now we're battling the heat here, but just having that ability to get out and having that opportunity. I mean, I think in my dreams and hopes for this trail is that it does promote people to just get out more. It's there for you. It's safe. It's better than, you know, walking alongside, you know, a roadway or having to drive. I mean, it just gives somebody the opportunity to be more active and really have a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah. And to add to that, I think there's a perception and I will say predominantly I use trails as a recreation opportunity. Okay. But there are people that are using trails as their mobility opportunity, as their way to get to work, as their way to get to school, do shopping. And especially, you know, in short spurts that can happen. The reality is the majority of trips that we take as Americans are less than 5 miles. You know, our trip to the grocery store or the convenience store or the dry cleaners or whatever it might be, or the school is usually a pretty short trip. That is the kind of trip that can be done, you know, walking or biking, especially as you start to include things like electric bikes that have a higher speed and a longer distance. You know, we're looking for those opportunities for people to have an alternative to the car. It doesn't mean that we're saying no cars. We're trying to provide a safe and desirable option for someone who's looking to do something different.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good point too, because, you know, I live here in Dade City, and I've been going out to Tarpon Springs kind of toward Anclote. And along that commute, of course, toward Newport Richey, I'm constantly going around a lot of those bikers or e-bikers. And I know for sure they're probably thinking, whoa, man, these cars are close.
So this will help a lot with that, you know, if that's the case.
Yeah, we're definitely looking for, you know, when we start to talk about transportation, the state of Florida actually was a leader for a very long time. One of the first states to basically in essence, mandate providing bicycle and pedestrian facilities along state highways. So we did bike lanes. But as we've learned over the past few decades, it's not necessarily comfortable or safe, ideal, to have a 5-foot painted strip, for example, along a 6-lane arterial where cars are going 50, 55, 60 miles an hour. And so it's really important that we're looking at separated facilities that are off to the side from roadways. And again, the further set back they are, in some ways, the more comfortable, because it gives us the opportunity to also provide additional landscaping, maybe trees and shade, that helps with the overall experience of utilizing those facilities.
Yeah, and that's, you know, an important thing we want to talk about when we are thinking of this trail and trying to explain it in terms of, you know, understanding for the general public. Like when we do design these, we do want to make sure that the trail is as far away from the roadways as possible. So, you know, in areas like State Road 54, where it's going to be coming up Trinity Boulevard. I mean, we're going to get to the farthest point that the count, you know, the right of way line that we can. So it is far away from that traffic as we are able to build it, because nobody wants to ride on the side of the road. I mean, it's not, it can be nice if you're in like a rural area going through hills that are in roadways that are very, you know, little traveled, but of course that safety and the safety of being away from that traffic is a huge priority for us.
Yeah, so I guess kind of stemming off, you know, safety, I think one of the other concerns that I've seen a lot online was, you know, a trail like this might lead to a rise in crime. You know, some people think that having a trail near their property or near their house or property line, it might draw like people like break-ins or more crime, which I'm not totally sure if that's true, because I've, from a lot of the data that I've seen, that a lot of the rail to trail initiatives hasn't shown, you know, a rise in crime. I know the same thing kind of goes for like the Coastal Anclote Trail. There hasn't really been a rise in crime.
Unfortunately, you know, that perception is out there, and, you know, we want to try to educate the public as much as we can on those studies that really show that, you know, when you build a trail, it actually improves the community, and that crime doesn't, there's no valid or evidence to show that crime does increase when a trail is built. I think why it would be nailing down the statistics on these, but I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right. It doesn't.
In the big picture, eyes on the street as a terminology is a great way to, you know, reduce crime. The more that we who are living in our communities are paying attention and are out there, that's a deterrent, and that's one of the strongest deterrents. So, for example, some of our older urban communities and the new urbanist communities, so even places like Starkey Ranch, that have front porches, okay? The more that a community is out on their front porch versus in their backyard, that's eyes on the street. The same thing is true from a trail standpoint. The more people that are out there and that are engaged, the less likely you are to have a criminal element that is willing to take the chance because there are so many people that are looking and watching. At the same time, there are pieces that we can do in the design of the trail. There is, you know, a general topic, crime prevention through environmental design, which is SEPTED. And there are some elements that we could consider, things that we would do. You know, there's been some concern about people that might be lurking behind bushes. Okay, well, how can we do landscaping in a way that's an amenity, but also doesn't create that concern? We also know that in some cases, again, the more access you provide, the better. But in sometimes you're going to want a wall or a fence to delineate public space versus private space. And so there are some opportunities for us to consider that as part of the trail design as well.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, kind of in the somewhat in the range of safety, you know, another one of the concerns kind of in the community is the thought that, you know, a trail like this is going to devalue their property.
Yeah, well, studies show that it's the exact opposite. I mean, it does increase the value in your property. And I think Tampa Bay Times had on one of their Sunday articles regarding a study, and they were talking about how the pros of the Orange Belt Trail being along, you know, certain areas can actually increase the value of someone's home. So that's actually one real positive thing about depending on where this trail lies. Yeah.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, when you talk to, for example, developers of master plan communities, what they hear from potential buyers and the people that live in their communities, they're looking for walking and biking trails. That is an amenity to those communities that makes a difference to someone interested in buying a home. And, you know, for a long time, you know, developers put golf courses in, right? No matter what. Again, a strong desire that a lot of builders and developers are hearing from potential buyers and people that live in their communities is this desire for walking and biking trails. For many years, you know, say 20, 30 years ago, strong desire was put a golf course. Well, now what they're finding is that the two things that people are asking for most are trails And then these very nice swimming pools with water slides, aquatic parks, whatever you want to call them. These are the elements that buyers are looking for. There's a reason that there's a robust trail system, for example, in Starkey Ranch, in Bexley, because that is desirable to people that are looking to be in those communities. And it does, and therefore, it is an amenity that increases property values.
Yeah, and I guess kind of coming off that, but mostly conversely, you know, I've seen online there's a lot of people who are concerned with the trail potentially cutting their property in half.
Aaron, I'm going to let you start that.
Yeah, when we look at areas in more rural where it follows the Orange Belt Trail line, the original Orange Belt Railroad line, there are those segments that are privately owned. And while we no alternative route that is being proposed impacts any cultural sites, nor will it impede on an actual structure, there will be areas that may, you know, need that acquisition for the trail to run alongside or potentially cut through these larger properties. So of course the cost of that is immense. And so in those rural areas where it may have to cut through a property line on some of those big, larger parcels. That's the lowest ranking alternative in our study. So, I mean, it does show that it does have a large impact on the study and how we're going to continue to proceed. But there are some areas where there's kind of some concerns about the space between the roadway and a house in some of those areas and concerns about how is the trail going to fit between there and my fence, you know, and a lot of those roads are substandard. And what that means is they're below our county minimum requirements for what it should be. And so if that trail does end up going along that old roadway where there may not be that much room and it is a substandard roadway, that's a huge opportunity to improve the entire road structure in the facility. So we would be able to, I mean, we may need to acquire a couple of feet, you know, into somebody's into a parcel, but on the bright side is that we'll be able to, you know, improve not only the trail but also the roadway that they drive every day.
And that's a great point that Aaron makes. I think there's a little bit of maybe a misperception from the people who have said, why don't you just build it along the road? That, in fact, there's right-of-way that's just there. And in many cases, even adjacent to a roadway, we may need a couple of feet in order to do the trail, depending on the type of trail we're doing. And so, again, we're not talking about cutting through the middle of property in that situation. But, you know, yes, there may be a need to get 5 or 10 feet at the front edge of someone's property. And that may even happen when we're talking about places where it's adjacent to a roadway.
I mean, yeah, you know, I think that those are some of the main ones that for me that I saw online through various Facebook groups and comments on a lot of the Orange Belt post itself. You know, I don't know if you guys, did you guys see any other things that you might want to just throw in here real quick that you might want to address?
Well, let me just add real quick on that, the part I was just mentioning. It's not substantially different than when you're trying to sometimes build a sidewalk where a road or a street did not have a sidewalk and now you later want to provide it. Sometimes you're in the same need of having to get a strip of land from private, from the landowners at the time. And so it's a similar effort, and we will look to minimize that where we can. But again, it's really important that we show the overall benefit, and hopefully Pasco County does have a willing sellers program for people who are interested. We will be looking to that. There are people who have contacted us, you know, who have said, you know, I might be interested if this comes by my property. To some of the other things, there, one thing we didn't cover so far was in some of the stakeholders that we've talked to, there's a group that is very interested in expanding trails for equestrian use. And, you know, that's an interesting aspect that we have to consider. You know, where do you allow horses? How are they interacting with other trail users? How close is that to a road? And so we've in fact identified if we were to do equestrian trails, we would ideally like them to be a wider space than just the bicycle pedestrian trail, for example. And so, you know, in areas where we're going to consider that, we may need to be looking for areas that have more available right of way, for the lack of a better term.
As well as being off the road completely.
Correct. We definitely don't want horses, you know, 4 feet from a car. No.
You know, and one thing I'll say too is for the folks who are listening on this podcast, you know, unfortunately with social and the things that are outside of our vision, we don't see those comments, but we do encourage folks who, you know, who live in this area and who might be potential trail users to provide comment and feedback. And we do have that option still available on the website. It's theorangebelttrail.com. And on our contact section, there is a comment box that allows folks to submit their thoughts and their ideas. So we encourage anybody that does have something to say that may have said it on a social media post that we weren't able to see, we encourage them to submit through the website. Able to document it and have that data.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess, you know, kind of coming back into the project itself, you know, right now, I guess more current day, you know, where's the project at and where's it headed?
Well, yeah. Go ahead, Erin.
Okay. So we had wrapped up what we call the alternatives meetings, and that was our official public meeting to voice and provide and educate the public on the current alternatives that we are looking at. We wrapped that up. We are looking at gathering the rankings of other stakeholders, like our local governments and like the local pulse. And a few others. And so once we gather all of that stakeholder and public input, that's going to be one piece of our study that we will have completed. And then the next step would be to narrow down some of those alternatives and then really kickstart the environmental, the NEPA portion, where we look at those 1 to 2 alternatives and really assess the environmental impacts of them and provide even more data from there. Hopefully by spring, sometime spring of 2024, we'll host a official public hearing with our Pasco County Board of County Commissioners, and the county will provide the recommended alternatives to them and hear their say. So when we look at it, is a massive trail, you know, 37 miles long, what Wyatt was saying, from, you know, 35 to 40. We are going to be breaking it up into segments as we go along with the PD&E, the design, and then the final construction of it. So a lot of the users aren't going to see one massive construction project 37 miles long all in one go. We are currently in a looking at segments on the west side that are pretty well known as to where that end trail is going to lie, and looking at starting some design work for it. Other parts closer to the east side, we will have to, you know, move further along in this environmental study to get to where we need to be.
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible that it will take decades to build the entire thing. I definitely more than 10 years. I think that's very likely. But I think it's important to know, as Erin has said, that, you know, there are portions that may be coming out of the ground in the next few years. And even more, there are segments of trails that exist today that are most likely part of the Orange Belt Trail alignment. So these are trails that currently are out there that all we would need to do is brand them as part of the Orange Belt Trail, and the beginnings of that project could be out there, you know, for the lack of a better term, tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a good point. And along with that, you know, one thing that drives our design efforts and our construction as well is our funding. So as I said before,
this was in our Penny for Pasco program, but that doesn't mean we're not looking at other sources of funding to really help pay for this whole project. So the county has been fortunate enough to be granted SunTrail grant funding through the FDOT. It's called the SunTrail funding program. And so we've been already awarded some grant funding through that to help pay for the construction of trails. And the county is actively seeking more state and federal funds to help provide this to alleviate some of that and maybe move some of that Penny for Pasco money to other projects. So we have a lot going on and yep, Wyatt, go ahead.
I was going to say, sorry. I think, you know, part of what we're doing in the study and how we're following the process is to make sure that we can continue to have access to that state and federal funding. For example, with SunTrail, there's a requirement that you need to have a 12-foot off-road paved trail. So where we can, that's what we're looking to do. We're following the federal NEPA process that would allow potential of getting federal funds. So as to, you know, take the benefit and, as Aaron said, perhaps reallocate some of the Penny for Pasco to other efforts.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, I guess we can kind of start wrapping it up with, you know, and I know we kind of covered some of this already, but what would you say is probably the key benefits, you know, for this Orange Belt Trail project that just stands out to you that, like, hey, this is like, if this was the thing, that would be it.
Oh, sure. So I would say a couple things. Number one, enhanced connectivity, you know, east to west, connecting some of our communities together. The opportunity for a healthier lifestyle and a better quality of life for residents and visitors alike. And also, again, the opportunity for an alternative mobility to the automobile. I think those are three key drivers. A fourth, as I'm coming up to it, is the potential in some areas for it to be an enhancer to economic growth and economic development.
Man, Wyatt, you got all of them.
Sorry.
So yeah, I mean, the connectivity thing is huge, and we don't have that really well-established east to west, west to east trail. And so that is going to just provide a major benefit to folks who want to use that as an accessibility to get to where they need to be, not having to use a vehicle to get there. And yeah, what he said in the sustainability side is that it does reduce the number of vehicles on the road. That's a key factor to it. And we've had some conversations with developers or, you know, I sit in sometimes on the MPO's BPAC, the bicycle committee, and through the MPO. And, you know, there are some business owners that are excited about it, that, you know, they know that it can drive a lot of their business if they're whether it's a coffee shop or a bicycle shop or even just, you know, regular food and beverage industry. If there's a trail in their backyard or in their along their you know, front, their face, there, that can drive a lot of their income and or their traffic. So it really will enhance the community in so many different ways, and I think that the county overall is going to benefit so much for it.
I enjoy, like, the fact that, you know, a lot of the public is able to put in a lot of input, the transparency, you know, from the county about, you know, what their plans is, what their thoughts are, and, you know, just the ability that, hey, you know, I could show up to a meeting and bring up a good point that might be taken seriously in, you know, the implication of this project.
Yeah, we've strived, the county has been very clear as part of the effort of putting it together, and we're happy about it as the consultant working, that outreach and engagement is a huge component of the study. And, you know, we started it from day one, and it will continue all the way through to the end of the effort. And then when we're done this study, it'll continue into the design elements and construction. There will be engagement throughout.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, hey, y'all, this was awesome. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Joseph, for having us. We love this project, and we love to talk about it, and we want to make sure that everybody, you know, hears what we want to say, and to really encourage folks to get involved. I mean, this is our county, and this is one of those things that
will really help connect us all and get us all out on the streets or out on the trail and stay active and you know, come together.
Well, there you go. Aaron, you said it all perfectly there.
Awesome.
All right. Well, hey, Joseph, thank you so much. And feel free to email either Wyatt or myself if you have any other questions or need any other, you know, tips or advice or anything you may need from us. So appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you again. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
And there we have it for episode 111, chatting about the Orange Belt Trail. You know, this thing would be a cool benefit, you know, here in Pasco County, especially opening up an avenue or a route, you know, a trail that takes you across the county. So huge thank you to Wyatt and Aaron, you know, for taking the time to come on, you know, chat about the Orange Belt Trail, the project itself, you know, the planning and addressing those concerns that, you know, people in the community, you know, they've been very vocal about. So hopefully that helps. And if you want to learn more information, you can go to the website. They've got an Orange Belt Trail website that you can see. You can see slideshows, some of the planning ideas, pictures of what things are proposed to look like, you know, kind of the things that maybe you would want in a trail. So yeah, you know, if you have any input, just hit that contact page, you know, reach out, send them a message, and you too could have a voice in this project. And hey, you know, with that, until next time, happy trails.